Welcome everyone to Electronic Talks episode 19. Today we have a very special guest. It's none other than Pedram, who is here from the culture house called Cyklopen here in Stockholm. And he's also working with a radio show over there. So very welcome.
Thank you.
How are you doing today, man?
I'm good. It's nice to be here. It's been raining for 36 hours straight or something. So it's a pretty weird mood in general, but I'm feeling fine.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I got completely soaked yesterday too in the rainfall.
Yeah.
Totally crazy.
Yeah.
So it's great to have you here. You're working with an association that I think is super exciting, which is the Culture House here in town, called Cyklopen, or Cyclops in English. And could you tell us a little bit about that place and what you do there?
Yeah. Absolutely. So to give, I would have to go back, I think, to the whole how it started.
That would be great.
So it has a pretty long history. It started in the early 2000s, 2003 actually. Mm-hmm. And it was part of the squatting movement. So there was a group of people trying to squat different places in Stockholm to basically have a place for culture and activities and opening up the city more basically. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of vacant places, as there is in big cities usually. So they tried a lot, and the squatting scene in Sweden has not really been that, it's not that many projects have been long term. Often maybe it's just a few weeks, then you get evicted. Mm-hmm. It's not like in Amsterdam or London or Berlin, for example, where there's a lot of long term running squats.
So
the group was kind of frustrated that it never really ended up. They tried a lot of different strategies, but nothing really worked. And it ended up that they should just build their own house instead.
I see.
From the ground up. Mm-hmm. So pretty crazy DIY project started in 2006, I think. Mm-hmm. And in 2007, the first house was built. It was a place for a lot of political activity. It was like the Autonomous Left, different people from that scene who built the house, but also a lot of cultural activity. It was a lot of punk shows. It was also a place for like the early dubstep scene, doing a lot of parties. And other stuff as well, workshops and all kinds of things. And this was a pretty rough place. It didn't have any running water, didn't have any electricity. It was built out of old shipping containers, basically. And like a wooden structure around it. And then it got burned down after a year. In like a terror attack from Nazis.
Crazy.
And this place has been built voluntarily, basically, by people in their free time who had no experience in building, just trying out, basically. So it was a huge trauma for everyone that this project was in a few minutes just gone.
Right.
In a way it was good because a huge mobilization happened. Everyone quickly decided that we have to build a new house. Then that happened, basically. And that's the house we have now that opened in 2012. Or 13, I think, actually. It took three summers to build. The whole process of building it was like an open workshop, basically. So you could just come there and someone would tell you this has to be done, and you could just try and help out. And it was a huge collective effort, basically, to build it. The estimation is that around 1,000 people helped building it.
Amazing.
So it's a proper house now. It has running water, toilets, kitchen, electricity, all of that stuff. It's pretty big. It fills 350 people can be there. It's a sort of cultural center, basically. People can come there, and we have meetings every 3 weeks, which are open for everyone to join. Where we take all our decisions in consensus. So it's a kind of democratic, trying to be like a democratic flat structure.
Yeah.
And yeah, people can just come, and if they want to realize something, some kind of idea they want to make, they can just present it to us, and if we want to or have the time, we will help them to do it, basically.
That's great. That's great. And I was always amazed by the house that was built. It's in these beautiful, bright colors, and it's some kind of plastic material or the walls. It's very distinctive, I would say.
Yeah.
For someone who hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, it looks like a spaceship just came down there, basically.
Yeah.
And it's very durable, the plastic around it, so it's very practical. So we won't have a kind of attempt against us again.
True.
Yeah. Mm. So the inspiration of the design was a turtle, basically, for it to be very cute and nice, but also very durable and safe. So yeah.
Very, very nice. No, that's been a great concept. So when it reopened, what would you say happened? Did you get a bigger member base, and what kind of activities started happening at that time?
There was a lot of activity. I was pretty new in town. So I wasn't really that involved back then, but there was a lot of different cultural activities, and also bar nights, and political like lectures and workshops and all these kinds of things. But I think when the house was finished, it was also like, when it was built, there was this huge enthusiasm around it, and a lot of people. But then when it was finished, it was maybe that's the where the most difficult part actually started.
Yeah,
like, how are we gonna run it? How are we gonna what it's gonna be for, really, and who and why, and all these questions. And the only way has been experimenting, I think, with running it, because nobody's getting paid to work there, or what to say, it's all a volunteer basis. So and there's a lot of to take care of in a huge house like that.
So
it's been a lot of questions about that, and I think after a few years, I also have to say, this is my story, and depending on who you ask, you will get a different answer on this. But
of course,
in my perspective, it became more and more maybe a place where people came and just watched culture. I mean, there was a lot of DIY stuff happening and all kinds of things. But if you ask someone if they have been at Cyclopean, they probably were there at a party, maybe.
Right.
That's maybe the most usual relationship people have to it. So and the whole idea of the house is for people to get more active and creating and become more involved in, I don't know, democratic practices, stuff like that. And that doesn't really happen if you just go to a party. We've been struggling a bit with how to make the whole house more like a place for production and not only for consumption of culture. It's taken a long time, and it's been ups and downs, but I think now we're in a really good place, in this sense, what we want the house to be and how to make it more a productive place.
And what attracted you to the house and the projects there in the beginning? Like, how did you get into it and get involved?
I'm also a DJ, so that's how I played records there a lot, and I became a part of the library group as well. There's different kind of smaller groups within the house. They're pretty much autonomous, but then they report back to the big group if they need anything. We have a library as well in the house, and we have a library group who had like a lot of literary events with performances, movie screenings, and poetry, and I used to play records at those events. And slowly I got more and more involved in the whole running the whole thing. It starts maybe when, like, okay, why isn't there better speakers here?
Right
And then you just have to get engaged and make sure that the speakers get better or whatever.
Nothing fixes itself, you have to be part of it.
If you get involved, you easily then it starts rolling, the snowball gets bigger, and you get more and more involved in the place. So that's how it started. But I think what attracted me was, I guess, the crowd, or what to say,
yeah,
is very diverse and unexpected at Cyclopen, mm-hmm, in a way you don't see anywhere else in Stockholm.
Yeah.
You don't see that kind of mix between groups and people at all, I would say. And that is because it's not a commercial place.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay any money to be there. Mm. There, no one expects you to do that.
Yeah.
So it creates a whole different crowd of people who come there, and also that it has a very political background as well, or aura around it also attracts a certain kind of crowd, but also people in the neighborhood, because it's located in Högdalen, the suburb of Stockholm. Also a lot of local people, but you get this really interesting mix of people that you wouldn't get anywhere else.
I think that's great. I mean, there's far too few initiatives like that in Stockholm, where you can just go and enjoy culture, you know, for free without any, you know, special interest behind it or whatever. So yeah. I really like that. And I in some many ways, I wish there were more places like that around the city, you know, in the different parts of the city. So
that was a slogan actually for when the house was built, was one Cyclopen in every suburb, basically.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I think for the whole concept to like work for in the like, if you would like to scale the whole thing up, that's what you would need. You would need one in every suburb, and then you would have a completely different city, I think.
I think so too, because there's far too few open places for different types of culture, as you mentioned, you know, literature, poetry, radio, music, whatever, you know, and scenes for people to express themselves as well. So it's, I think it's great, and I like that you invite everyone as well to the process. Could you also explain to me a little bit, because since about December, I think you've been doing a radio show. Could you tell me about the genesis of that show, when you came up with the idea, and then how it got started as kind of a weekly thing?
Sure. Mm. It actually goes back further than that.
Yeah.
So the radio initiative, it started last year on 1st of May, 2020. So yeah, that was when the pandemic was still pretty new.
Yeah.
And 1st of May was approaching, and we were like, what are we going to do? Because that's our most visited day, basically. After the demonstrations, people come to Cyclopen. It's like part of the whole May Day in Stockholm ceremony, or what you say, ritual.
Yeah.
You end up at Cyclopen and there's a party. And this year, obviously, there wouldn't be one.
Yeah.
So, we just started out thinking, what should we do instead?
Mm.
And radio quickly became something we were all interested in. And we've talked about it before, like, it would be cool to have a radio studio.
Mm-hmm.
It started with radio, and none of us really had any clue how to do radio or had any experience whatsoever in doing radio. Much like when the house was built, nobody really knew what they were doing, but it's just, we decided to do it and try. And I don't remember why we decided this, but we were like, okay, let's do it for as long as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make the show as long as we can.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think we started maybe with 6 hours, then we were like, okay, let's just make it 20 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started, and we just reached out to a lot of different people and asked for material.
Mm.
We got a lot of material.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting with the house, because so many have a relationship to it in some kind of way. Maybe they were part of building it, maybe they've been there just for a party, as I said, or maybe played there, or maybe just like the initiative, that it exists. So practically everyone we asked said yes to participate.
That's great.
And we just got this huge body of material, and we put together this live stream radio show, kind of improvised, but it worked really well. We got so much good feedback, and it was really fun and intense experience to do it.
I can imagine.
In such a short time, and that it worked. And yeah, two things I think then influenced the rest of the radio show that mm-hmm. we did. And one was that I remember this a few days before we were going to transmit. We were like, okay, all of our material needs to be shorter.
Yeah.
Like we have done interviews and stuff and we're like, we need to cut it in half.
Yeah.
Like it just needs to be shorter, mm-hmm. everything. And the material we had asked for was also like 10, 15 minutes long maximum.
Yeah.
And that included like DJ mixes and concerts and mm-hmm. stuff. It was mm-hmm. all 10, 15 minutes max. And we just made everything short. Even though we did, there was like 4 or 5 hours that we didn't have time to transmit.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. yeah, that says something about how much we got. Basically.
That's amazing, really. Yeah.
And then it was, yeah, I also have to say it was a real mix of stuff. It was poetry, sound art, interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a very diverse genres of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we improvised the whole thing, and I think it was in the night time actually, mm-hmm. in the end of the show, where it was more, we decided more like, okay, now we do less studio talk and we just run, like we edit together pieces and just run it for 30-40 minutes, so that we have time to like show this stuff. And for me, that's when something really fell into place. I was like, wow, this is such a nice format.
Yeah,
this kind of collage of different kinds of stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what's going to happen. And, you know, you go from some kind of political interesting interview to some weird sound art to some, like, I don't know, DJ mix with Latin American music. I don't know. It was just this really nice flow.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I think really influenced what we're going to do next. So when that was done, we knew that we wanted to continue, but we didn't really know how.
Yeah.
And then the autumn came and COVID continued. So yeah, we decided now let's continue this format with the like very different kind of stuff that we piece together. But we do it once a week, every Friday.
Yeah.
With the studio introducing the material, but so that's how the and that was called Radio Cyklopen. Before it was Radio 1st of May, then it was Radio Cyklopen. So and we did the same process, basically just reaching out to a lot of people and just asking for material, as well as using the bank of material we had, because the 1st of May transmits was not able to listen to again. We were like, it's a live thing.
Oh, right.
You hear it once, then it's gone.
Then it's that, yeah.
So, yeah, we could republish a lot of that material together with new material that we got.
Mm-hmm.
So we're building up this huge sound bank of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just, continuing and doing it every week.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that for 21 weeks.
Yeah.
Until this year's 1st of May.
Once again.
We really did it once again. And this time it was 24 hours and a much bigger production and much more like live things happening in the house as well.
Were you there for 24 hours?
Yes.
Yourself?
Yes.
How was that day for you, like from start to finish? Like, how was the feelings? How did everything progress that day?
It was super intense, but just a great feeling of joy, I think. We expanded the group a bit, so we were a bit more people, and just everything just worked so well, I think. There was, of course, a lot of stress, but I'm surprised how well it went. Like, no technical problems, really, no big ones. And of course, also the feeling of actually doing something together with people again after like a year of this kind of weird, not really,
meeting people or doing things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, just setting up the stage and having lights and just the whole like joy of actually, coming together and doing something. It was great.
What were some highlights for you, just to describe the kind of stuff that you were broadcasting that day for someone who didn't hear it live?
it's hard to just say some. I mean, I think I'm just really happy with how it all stitched together and
everything together.
And daytime, there was a lot of really interesting like political panel discussions about the healthcare and about the what do you say, bostads situation.
Yeah, about
the housing situation.
Housing situation and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was really great and mixed together with, I mean, we got so much brilliant music from people and and the evening was more like we opened up a club, we had some great live shows, live bands came and played. But I really liked the nighttime radio as well and the morning radio when it was like everyone was really tired but still focused, and we had so much good material that was really, fitted well to send, you know, in the night or in the morning.
Yeah.
Some more kind of weirder stuff or more experimental stuff that you could then play and, so.
Yeah, there's not as much restriction that you have to be like active in the same way as the, like a prime time.
Exactly. You can let the material talk a bit more and you can also be very much, I don't know, think very freely and what you want to, and it's more an improvisation thing. Yeah, and then also we ended the whole show with a live concert from Maria Horn, which was also amazing, like after 24 hours just listening to that, and then we were done. So yeah, it was very special and intense day.
And I think it's super interesting. You like this kind of what could be called freeform radio, is that correct? Or collage radio?
Yeah, I actually just recently learned about this term, freeform radio. I didn't really know about it, but yeah, it's a kind of form of radio mainly big in the US, I think, from these small kind of independent radio stations where you have this really experimental form of like stitching together different genres of stuff into like some kind of cohesive story. We have called it collage radio from the beginning, so that's what we call it.
Yeah. And also, how would you say, since you've been DJing for years, for a very long time, and you've been very active here in Stockholm and playing in different kinds of places and events, how did you approach that when you were doing the radio with the Radio Cyclopen? How did you change your mindset a little bit about what the sound experience, or how did you kind of merge those identities together?
Yeah, it was an interesting thing because for me, I mean, the project got really interesting to me when I realized like, wow, this is pretty much like DJing, but instead of just DJing with music, you're doing it with all kinds of different kinds of art forms. Because you have to think in the same way as you would think if you were doing like a mixtape or something. Like this has to go together with that. It has to be cohesive. It has to be like a story that unfolds. So yeah, it's definitely is very the same kind of artistic thinking that you have to do to put it together. But I mean, the ones who were in there, radio who maybe weren't DJs, they were maybe more thinking like, okay, but this theme, like this content has to fit with this. I was maybe more thinking about moods,
right?
Like, okay, we have this mood, now we have that mood.
Exactly.
But yeah, you also have to think about the like content as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think it I really learned a lot from the people who weren't DJs as well, like how they thought when they put it together. But it was always this very collective, intuitive process of putting it together. You always, like, we worked in these Word documents online all the time, making different running orders and commenting and changing it and listening and changing it. And so it was always like a thing we did together as well.
Yeah.
And experimenting with. Yeah.
Have you been, just on the side note of DJing, have you been missing like playing to people and stuff in the last year? Or have you been in another kind of bubble with the radio show and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've really been in the radio bubble.
Yeah.
Because it was so intense doing one episode every week. It was really, we put a lot of effort in every episode and a lot of time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really been about the radio for me. And haven't really missed it so much, to be honest, because I've had something else to focus on.
Exactly.
And yeah, but of course I'm looking forward to playing again, and yeah, I think it will be an exciting time when society opens up a bit.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like the live events will be great at that time, whenever it is that it's fully open again.
Yeah.
Mm. And could you also tell me a little bit about the plans you've got, you know, because you've been running this for like 21 weeks, like you said, but I mean, the potential is immense, and I guess you have dreams of different kinds of what you want to do, both with the radio show and maybe other parts of the house and stuff that's going on. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, for the radio, I don't really know what we're going to do with it now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're going to continue. I don't think we're going to do the week format again.
Yeah.
I mean, you can never say never, but it really was a pandemic winter thing when none of us had so much other things to do, so we really actually could put this much effort in it. Yeah, so I think we will try different formats with the radio. We will do more, probably more live things, and also when the house opens up again, because we've been closed practically, then yeah, it will be really interesting to see how the radio will develop with an active cultural house also going on in the same building.
Right, How is the structure right now? Like, where is the studio and how is the other space built around it?
The studio is now in the library, so it's a pretty small room. That's where the studio is, but you can also change it into different, we've put it in different places as well.
Yeah.
And for like 1st of May, for example, we had it in the big room downstairs. We had a workshop last weekend with some younger people, 18 to 25 year olds. Mm-hmm. Then we moved the studio to a bit bigger room. So we're changing the location. But yeah, I think that's something we will continue with as well, the like workshop process and finding different ways for people to get involved.
And that was about radio producing for younger people, right?
Yeah, it was like a five-hour workshop where they put together their own little radio collage show, basically. So it was really fun to try. Because the plan for the radio in the beginning was also that every Friday the house should be like kind of open.
Yeah.
So if you were interested, if you were like maybe working from home or just doing some kind of different project or maybe wanted to try radio in some way, the idea was that you could come and maybe we could have some open workshops as well, combined with doing our show. So I think maybe we will try something like that, because that's a lot how the house operates.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday, for example, there's an open studio. So if you're artist working or just want to sit somewhere and paint or do sculptures or whatever, you can come to Cyclopen and it's open, and there's other people sitting and working, and you do things together with others or on your own. But this kind of idea that there's a space. And we also had this open Saturdays where we usually clean the house or build different things or fix up different places or So yeah, I think this kind of idea with different weekdays where you can come and
do different kind of things.
Yeah, like when the house was built, basically, then it was that kind of process, but all the time. So I think it's a good format for people to get involved, not just as spectators, but also as participants. So we will work with that, I think, a lot.
Particularly looking at the summer, do you know how you're gonna do? Are you gonna open up more, or what's happening? Because I think there's some change happening, like 1st of June you can be more people in a room or something like that, right? So are you planning to have more activities and stuff like that now?
We're planning some, but not so much has been decided yet. Yeah, I think a lot of time will be put into like making sure the place is set up properly and also working with our internal structures a bit. But yeah, there will be some smaller events.
Yeah, I think that's maybe for many organizations and people, it's been a good time to kind of rethink the process of doing these kind of things, right? So
absolutely, yeah.
Because when you open up again, you can do it with kind of a new vision.
Yeah, and another big change for us has been that we now are pretty much crowdfunded. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this happened in the beginning of the pandemic. We made like a campaign to support us, and yeah, a lot of people turned up. So
that's great.
Now we're in a really different situation than we were before, because before we had to rent the place out all the time to different kinds of parties and things. So it became more, also sometimes it felt like work. Like,
right,
okay,
right.
I have to be here because we need this money for the house.
Yeah.
So, and there will still be, that will still remain, but not at all in the same way as it was before. Now we can actually, our financial situation is actually better than it was before the pandemic.
That's a great starting point.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think I'm very happy to hear that, actually. Because I would say, like, running a cultural institution or organization in Stockholm is definitely not the easiest thing. And I think you've done it in a great way, you know, where people get very optimistic and involved. So.
Yeah, but it's also thanks to so many people before.
Yeah,
who have,
of course.
Like, making sure that this place was actually built.
Yes.
Which was a completely insane idea to do.
Mm.
And I'm just so grateful that it actually realized.
That it happened.
That it happened, yeah. And because again, another thing is that we don't take any like grants that keep on coming in. Like, we're not, we're independent in that way financially. So in that way, and that's only possible because we built the house ourselves.
Exactly.
So we don't pay any rent. We pay rent for the ground,
but
not for the place. So that also makes the whole thing very different to run and safer in a way.
I think that's very exciting. And I think it's very important to have this kind of place, almost like a role model for people in the future as well, to see that this can actually be done in a place like Stockholm, which before maybe people would have said it was impossible.
Yeah, but it's also interesting because if you just look back 100 years or a bit more maybe, but this is how the whole like workers' movement started.
Yeah.
It was with Folkets Hus, or the People's House movement.
Very true.
And that it started in the same way, that workers or people realized that we need some kind of space to get together that is not the church, that is not where you get drunk.
Yeah.
And we need to build our own house, basically.
Mm.
So yeah, you can definitely see a history like us connected to that kind of tradition and history.
Mm.
Because now when Cyclopen was built, I think it was the first time in 100 years that like something was built for the common good by people,
just by
voluntarily.
People. Yeah.
But yeah, it's part of a old tradition as well.
Mm-hmm. And to round things up a little bit and looking forward, like, what are you most excited about coming up or in the future right now?
Yeah, that's a hard question and also very easy question.
Yeah.
Just meeting people again.
Yeah.
I have this, I don't know, I've been thinking the entire pandemic that when it ends, there will be like some kind of new energy of people getting involved in like reshaping the cities we live in. That's really what Cyclopen is about. It's about like, we can't let big finance take over our cities. We can't let all the public places we have disappear.
Mm.
We need to do something about it. Mm. And we need to practice in running things in a democratic, flat way.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time as we're having fun and being creative and experimental.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm just hoping for this to continue and grow.
Yes.
Sounds
like a good vision for sure. And if people want to find the Culture House or the radio show, where should they go?
They should check out our webpage, cyclopen.se, and you can listen to all of the radio shows. All the 21 episodes, they're there. And yeah, visit the open studio on Tuesdays.
Great.
And just keep an eye out for what will happen basically in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if anyone would be interested in hearing your personal DJ mixes, is there a place for that as well? Or
not at the moment, really.
Yeah. Not at the moment.
I did one mix for the radio show.
Mm-hmm. Which episode was that?
it was the release party episode. So it's a mix with Uzbek disco.
Excellent.
15 minutes. But yeah, I also want to say, because I guess there's a lot of DJs listening to this show, that if you're interested in participating in the radio, please reach out to us. I think the 15 minute format for a DJ set, a lot of DJs are put off. They're like 15 minutes, like really?
But yeah, yeah.
It's really fun. There's a lot you can do.
Definitely.
So yeah, it would be great. Get in touch.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So thank you, Pedram, so much for coming today. It's been really inspiring, and I hope to catch up with you soon about the events happening in Cyclopen.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So that was it for episode 19 of Electronic Talks. We're going to be back next week with a new episode, so looking forward to see you then. Thanks.